Townsend Press presents, from the Bluefoot series of books, Lost and Found, written by Anne Schraff and read by Shayna Walker.
Chapter 1. Darcy Wills winced at the loud rap music coming from her sister's room. My rhymes were rocking, MCs were dropping, people shouting and hip-hopping. Step to me and you'll be inferior, 'cause I'm your lyrical superior. Darcy went to Grandma's room. The darkened room smelled of lilac perfume, Grandma's favorite, but since her stroke, Grandma didn't notice it, or much of anything. "Bye, Grandma," Darcy whispered from the doorway. "I'm going to school now." Just then, the music from Jamie's room cut off, and Jamie rushed into the hallway. "Like she even hears you," Jamie said as she passed Darcy. Just 2 years younger than Darcy, Jamie was in eighth grade, though she looked older. "It's still nice to talk to her. Sometimes she understands. You want to pretend she's not here or something?" "She's not," Jamie said, grabbing her backpack. "Did you study for your math test?" Darcy asked. Mom was an emergency room nurse who worked rotating shifts. Most of the time, Mom was too tired to pay much attention to the girl's schoolwork, so Darcy tried to keep track of Jamie. "Mind your own business," Jamie snapped. "You got 2 D's on your last report card," Darcy scolded. "You want to flunk?" Darcy did not want to sound like a nagging parent, but Jamie wasn't doing her best. Maybe she couldn't make A's like Darcy, but she could do better. Jamie stomped out of the apartment, slamming the door behind her. "Mom's trying to get some rest," Darcy yelled. "Do you have to be so selfish?" But Jamie was already gone, and the apartment was suddenly quiet. Darcy loved her sister. Once, they had been good friends, but now all Jamie cared about was her new group of rowdy friends. They leaned on cars outside of school and turned up rap music on their boomboxes until the street seemed to tremble like an earthquake. Jamie had even stopped hanging out with her old friend, Alicia Roble, something she used to do every weekend. Darcy went back into the living room where her mother sat in the recliner sipping coffee. "I'll be home at 2:30, Mom," Darcy said. Mom smiled faintly. She was tired, always tired, and lately she was worried, too. The hospital where she worked was cutting staff. It seemed each day fewer people were expected to do more work. It was like trying to climb a mountain that keeps getting taller as you go. Mom was 44, but just yesterday she said, "I'm like an old car that's run out of warranty, baby. You know what happens then. Old car is ready for the junk heap. Well, maybe that hospital is going to tell me one of these days, 'Maddie Mae Wills, we don't need you anymore. We can get somebody younger and cheaper.'" "Mom, you're not old at all," Darcy had said. But they were only words, empty words. They could not erase the dark, weary lines from beneath her mother's eyes. Darcy headed down the street toward Bluford High School. It was not a terrible neighborhood they lived in. It just was not good. Many front yards were not cared for. Debris, fast food wrappers, plastic bags, old newspapers blew around and piled against fences and curbs. Darcy hated that. Sometimes she and other kids from school spent Saturday mornings cleaning up, but it seemed like a losing battle. Now, as she walked, she tried to focus on small spots of beauty along the way. Mrs. Walker's pink and white roses bobbed proudly in the morning breeze. The Houston's rock garden was carefully designed around a wooden windmill. As she neared Bluford, Darcy thought about the science project that her biology teacher, Miss Reed, was assigning. Darcy was doing hers on tidal pools. She was looking forward to visiting a real tidal pool, taking pictures, and doing research. Today, Miss Reed would be dividing students into teams of two. Darcy wanted to be paired with her close friend, Brisanna Meeks. They were both excellent students, a cut above most kids at Bluford, Darcy thought. "Today, we are forming project teams so that each student can gain something valuable from the other," Miss Reed said as Darcy sat at her desk. Miss Reed was a tall, stately woman who reminded Darcy of the Statue of Liberty. She would have been a perfect model for the statue if Lady Liberty had been a black woman. She never would have been called pretty, but it was possible she might have been called a handsome woman. "For this assignment, each of you will be working with someone you've never worked with before." Darcy was worried. If she was not teamed with Brizana, maybe she would be teamed with some really dumb student who would pull her down. Darcy was a little ashamed of herself for thinking that way. Grandma used to say that all flowers are equal, but different. The simple daisy was just as lovely as the prize rose. But still, Darcy did not want to be paired with some weak partner who would lower her grade. "Darcy Wills will be teamed with Tara Carson," Miss Reed announced. Darcy gasped. Not Tara. Not that big, chunky girl with a brassy voice who squeezed herself into tight skirts and wore lime green or hot pink satin tops and cheap jewelry. Not Tara who hung out with Cooper Hodden, that loser who was barely hanging on to his football eligibility. Darcy had heard that Cooper had been left back once or twice and even got his driver's license as a sophomore. Darcy's face felt hot with anger. Why was Miss Reed doing this? Hakeem Randall, a handsome, shy boy who sat in the back row, was teamed with the class blabbermouth LaShawn Appleby. Darcy had a secret crush on Hakeem since freshman year. So far, she had only shared this with her diary, never with another living soul. It was almost as though Miss Reed was playing some devilish game. Darcy glanced at Tara, who was smiling broadly. Tara had an enormous smile, and her teeth contrasted harshly with her dark red lipstick. "Great," Darcy muttered under her breath. Miss Reed ordered the teams to meet so they could begin to plan their projects. As she sat down by Tara, Darcy was instantly sickened by a syrupy sweet odor. She must have doused herself with cheap perfume this morning, Darcy thought.
"Hey, girl," Tara said. "Well, don't you look down in the mouth. What's got you looking that way?"
It was hard for Darcy to meet new people, especially someone like Tara, a person Aunt Charlotte would call low class. These were people who were loud and rude. They drank too much, used drugs, got into fights, and ruined the neighborhood. They yelled ugly insults at people, even at their friends. Darcy didn't actually know that Tara did anything like this personally, but she seemed like the type who did.
"I just didn't think you'd be interested in title pools," Darcy explained.
Tara slammed her big hand on the desk, making her gold bracelets jangle like ice cubes in a glass, and laughed. Darcy had never heard a mule bray, but she was sure it made exactly the same sound. Then Tara leaned close and whispered, "Girl, I don't know a tidal pool from a fool. Miss Reed stuck us together to mess with our heads. You hear what I'm saying? Maybe we could switch to other partners," Darcy said nervously. A big smile spread slowly over Tara's face.
"Nah, I think I'm going to enjoy this. You're always sitting here like a princess, collecting your A's. Now you gotta work with a regular person, so you better loosen up, girl."
Darcy felt as if her teeth were glued to her tongue. She fumbled in her bag for her outline of the project. It all seemed like a horrible joke now. She and Tara Carson standing knee-deep in the muck of a tidal pool?
"Worms live there, don't they?"
Tara asked, twisting a big gold ring on her chubby finger.
"Yeah, I guess," Darcy replied.
"Big green worms," Tara continued. "So if you get your feet stuck in the bottom of that old tidal pool and you can't get out, do the worms crawl up your clothes?"
Darcy ignored the remark. "I'd like for us to go there soon, you know, look around. My boyfriend Cooper, he goes down to the ocean all the time. He can take us. He says he's seen these villa crabs. They look like big spiders and they'll try to bite your toes off."
"Cooper says so," Tara said.
"Stop being silly," Darcy shot back. "If you're not even going to be serious..."
"You think you're better than me, don't you?"
Tara suddenly growled.
"I never said..." Darcy blurted.
"You don't have to say it, girl. It's in your eyes. You think I'm a lowlife and you're something special. Well, I got more friends than you got fingers and toes together. You got no friends. Everybody laughs at you behind your back. You know what the word on you is? Darcy Wills gives you the chills."
Just then the bell rang, and Darcy was glad for the excuse to turn away from Tara, to hide the hot tears welling in her eyes. She quickly rushed from the classroom, relieved that school was over. Darcy did not think she could bear to sit through another class just now. Darcy headed down the long street towards home. She did not like Tara. Maybe it was wrong, but it was true. Still, Tara's brutal words hurt. Even stupid, awful people might tell you the truth about yourself.
and Darcy did not have any real friends, except for Brisanna. Maybe the other kids were mocking her behind her back. Darcy was very slender, not as shapely as many of the other girls. She remembered the time when Cooper Hodden was hanging in front of the deli with his friends, and he yelled as Darcy went by, "Hey, is that really a female there? Sure don't look like it. Looks more like an old broomstick with hair." His companions laughed rudely, and Darcy had walked a little faster. A terrible thought clawed at Darcy. Maybe she was the loser, not Tara. Tara was always hanging with a bunch of kids, laughing and joking. She would go down the hall to the lockers, and greetings would come from everywhere. "Hey, Tara. What's up, Tara? See you at lunch, girl." When Darcy went to the lockers, there was dead silence. Darcy usually glanced into stores on her way home from school. She enjoyed looking at the trays of chicken feet and pork ears at the Little Asian grocery store. Sometimes she would even steal a glance at the diner sitting by the picture window at the Golden Grill restaurant. But today, she stared straight ahead, her shoulders drooping. If this had happened last year, she would have gone directly to Grandma's house, a block away from where Darcy lived. How many times had Darcy and Jamie run to Grandma's, eaten applesauce cookies, drunk cider, and poured out their troubles to Grandma? Somehow, their problems would always dissolve in the warmth of her love and wisdom. But now, Grandma was a frail figure in the corner of their apartment, saying little, and what little she did say made less and less sense. Darcy was usually the first one home. The minute she got there, Mom left for the hospital to take the 3 o'clock to 11 o'clock shift in the ER. By the time Mom finished her paperwork at the hospital, she would be lucky to be home again by midnight. After Mom left, Darcy went to Grandma's room to give her the malted nutrition drink that the doctor ordered her to have 3 times a day. "Want to drink your chocolate malt, Grandma?" Darcy asked, pulling up a chair beside Grandma's bed. Grandma was sitting up, and her eyes were open. "No, I'm not hungry," she said listlessly. She always said that. "You need to drink your malt, Grandma," Darcy insisted, gently putting the straw between the pinched lips. Grandma sucked the malt slowly. "Grandma, nobody likes me at school," Darcy said. She didn't expect any response, but there was a strange comfort in telling Grandma anyway. "Everybody laughs at me. It's because I'm shy, and maybe stuck up too, I guess. But I don't mean to be. Stuck up, I mean. Maybe I'm weird. I could be weird, I guess. I could be like Aunt Charlotte." Tears rolled down Darcy's cheeks. Her heart ached with loneliness. There was nobody to talk to anymore. Nobody who had time to listen. Nobody who understood. Grandma blinked and pushed the straw away. Her eyes brightened as they did now and then. "You are a wonderful girl. Everybody knows that," Grandma said in an almost normal voice. It happened like that sometimes. It was like being in the middle of a dark storm and having the clouds part, revealing a patch of clear, sunlit blue. For just a few precious minutes, Grandma was bright-eyed and saying normal things. "Oh, Grandma, I'm so lonely," Darcy cried, pressing her head against Grandma's small shoulder. "You was such a beautiful baby," Grandma said, stroking her hair. "That one is gonna shine like the morning star. That's what I told your mama. That child is gonna shine like the morning star. Tell me, Angel Cake, is your daddy home yet?" Darcy straightened. "Not yet." Her heart pounded so hard, she could feel it thumping in her chest. Darcy's father had not been home in 5 years. "Well, tell him to see me when he gets home. I want him to buy you that blue dress you liked in the store window. That's for you, Angel Cake. Tell him I've got money. My Social Security came, you know, and I have money for the blue dress," Grandma said, her eyes slipping shut. Just then, Darcy heard the apartment door slam. Jamie had come home. Now she stood in the hall, her hands belligerently on her hips. "Are you talking to Grandma again?" Jamie demanded. "She was talking like normal," Darcy said. "Sometimes she does, you know, she does." "That is so stupid," Jamie snapped. "She never says anything right anymore, not anything." Jamie's voice trembled. Darcy got up quickly and set down the can of malted milk. She ran to Jamie and put her arms around her sister.
Jamie, I know you're hurting too.
Oh, don't be stupid, Jamie protested. But Darcy hugged her more tightly, and in a few seconds, Jamie was crying.
She was the best thing in this stupid house, Jamie cried. Why'd she have to go?
She didn't go, Darcy said. Not really.
She did. She did, Jamie sobbed.
She struggled free of Darcy, ran to her room, and slammed the door. In a minute, Darcy heard the bone-rattling sound of rap music.